Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is the Trying to Stay Well edition of Gaming Uncensored. I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and we're here.
We're here. We're making it at this point. Best we can, man. The world's kind of falling apart. So
absolutely, it's crazy out there. It's insane. Things are not good where I live and where you used to live.
Yeah.
It's different. And it's at this point, I'm not gonna say that I'm afraid, because I'm just generally not a fearful person. But there's some scary stuff going on.
Yeah, it's a time to be careful. kind of regardless of what you feel, be commonsensical. Take care of yourselves. Take care of people around you. Hopefully for not that much longer. Hopefully we're getting to vaccine kind of time fairly
soon.
Man,
that's crazy, isn't it? You talk about technology and it being 2020. That's one of those 2020 things. Less than a year, and we've got a vaccine coming that maybe possibly 90% effective against the coronavirus. That's a futuristic 2020 thing if we've ever seen one. So
I'm cautiously optimistic about that, but man, I hope so, because it would be really, really great to get all this stuff out of the way, done with, not have to deal with it anymore, because it all sucks.
It does suck, but I will say that I'm because of where I sit, I am sort of kind of leery of certain things, and new vaccines is one of them.
Sure.
Like I don't take the flu vaccine, because I don't know if I ever told you the story, but it's a true story. I was at the doctor, and the doctor says to me, "Hey, would you like a flu shot? We can get you a flu shot." And I'm like, "Sure." And he goes, "Well, we're out of the actual shot, but you can take the mist." And so I'm like, "Cool, whatever, no big deal." So they go to like mix it up or do whatever they do, and they give you the literature of what they're about to give you. And it says very clearly in the literature, if you have cerebral palsy and occasional problem swallowing, do not take this, because you will die. And so the doctor comes back in, and I'm like,
"Guys,
have you read this?" And he looks at it, and he's like, "Oh no, you can't take this." And so that's just one of those special things about being handicapped that nobody else really thinks about. But this is kind of another one of those things. I think I probably had the virus twice now, but it hasn't been bad enough either time for me to know, like, definitively, because sure. I just keep working, because, like I was telling you on the air, I have days that I don't tell people that I feel bad when I'm 100% anyway, so it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thing with the vaccine. I'm not sure if I want to put that in me or not. Probably will, unless they tell me I can't.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad it's there and everybody else will be able to take it.
Yeah.
And,
let me be clear. I totally get your situation and not being, you know, there day one. Outside of that, I hope most people are there day one. There's definitely going to be special circumstances where people have issues that should be considered before you get a vaccine that's very, very new. But man, for most of us, let's go do it and get this thing over with, man, because it sucks. It sucks.
It does.
I'm so excited to be done with it and get back to someone. Because, I mean, practically for us, one thing we were talking about just before we turned on the mics, we'd planned to see each other in a couple of weeks over Thanksgiving. But I'm not traveling for Thanksgiving now because this virus outbreak is getting crazy again. Especially, again, where you are, where I would be traveling to, it's just not under control at all. We just made the decision. We don't think we can do it. You know, like we, and not even for me or for the sexy sidekick, but for other people we love that we don't want to put at risk in that, you know, it's like,
right.
We just can't do that. We just have to make that call. And that really sucks.
And I think that's the thing that a lot of people have missed in this deal. I talked to a lot of people that are still kind of going out and kind of doing what they want to do. And I'm not afraid of it. You're not afraid of it. You walked into my house today. I wouldn't even blink. But it's the fact that we could potentially give it to somebody else who it might really negatively affect.
Yeah.
Like, that's what bothers me about the whole thing. Like, you and I could be in the middle of a hot zone and it wouldn't really matter just because I don't have that fear when it comes to you, but I fear traveling for other people.
Absolutely.
Like, do I go see my grandma's? What do I do?
Yeah.
So... yeah, it's very interesting, and there's other stuff going on in the world, and it's a weird.
All that time said, you're likely coming here to get away from all that stuff. So let's get away from all that stuff and talk about fun things that aren't the world crumbling down around us while the world crumbles down around us.
Yeah, and we apologize because we don't see each other.
Yes,
and so
it's been literally 3 weeks, right? Like, it's been a long time. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, however long it's been since we've done a show that we've exchanged a few texts here and there, but we just don't chat. So yeah, this is us catching up.
We know. Yeah, and so we apologize. We know you're here for a good time, and I am aware. Before somebody says something, I'm aware of what I look like. Got a little beard working here.
There are two reasons that you should go subscribe to the Patreon right now. One is that a little girl's going to come in here in about an hour, and you want to see that because she's the cutest thing ever. But number two is Jamie's got a pretty good beard going on right now, and it's really entertaining. I mean,
I'm telling you, man.
As somebody who has a lot of beard experience, obviously, you got some manly stubble. Like, I really dig it. It's pretty good.
Well, here's the thing. Here's why you really enjoy this, folks. Because I told people that if I want to grow a beard, I got a good hair, and I can grow a beard. I can probably grow a beard quicker than he does if I really want to. And it really upsets my little brother. Because my little brother doesn't have such good hair and has issues growing beards. And so if I want to go into his office which has his name on the door and represent him. I could do it looking like Jesus if that's what I felt like, and he wouldn't care. He, like, every time I see him and there's even a little bit of something going on, he's like, let it go, man, let it go. Because everybody wants to see it. So,
yeah.
I'm aware that if I just had, like, a bag of mules and some other stuff, I'd have a whole Uncle Buck thing going on. But, yeah, and the main reason that it didn't get shaved before the show was that I was afraid that I would do that and I would cut myself a couple of times and there'd be blood everywhere and nobody needs to see that.
Nope.
So
things I don't miss about shaving. Absolutely. Yeah.
So here's the thing. And I will offer you this because we're in the middle of what appears to be the closest thing to the end of the world that we've ever experienced.
Yep.
I'm considering, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm considering letting it go until I see you just so we can get a picture.
Yeah.
And have that, because that's something that we don't have. So I'm considering that.
It may be a while, so it might be a pretty sizable beard at that point.
Because let's face it, I don't think either one of us is going anywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a real reason to do that at this point. But one of us has to go somewhere at some point. Because we have new gaming hardware.
Yes.
That we desperately need to pick up. I gotta say before we dive into it, because everybody knows what's going on. Some of our guys have PlayStation 5 or an Xbox in their houses. Because everybody gets to it before we do.
Yes.
So I don't really feel like we need to spend 45 minutes going over all of that. Because most of you guys have one or both already. But I will say that I'm more excited than I thought I would be. And if one shows up at my house... or I find one online at Walmart. That's something that I really didn't expect.
Yeah.
Like I sent you the review of the Xbox Series X and I found it very interesting about how positive they were just all the way around. And after watching the IGN review, it made me like, hey, maybe I really do need to like pick this thing up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We'll get into all that momentarily, but I agree. And I am having a little FOMO of not having these, which is also a little crazy because we don't have games for them at this point, really, right? Like we're missing software, especially for the Xbox. We've got a couple of games on the PS5 that Demon's Souls is the only one that's not available on the PS4. And yet I still really want one in my house. Like I'm still really missing it.
So here's the thing with the phone mode. We talk about this. We've talked about this before on the show. We shouldn't be because we should know better. We're older guys, and we've been around a long time. But I think till the end of our lives, in various ways, you and I are always going to be hardware whores.
Yep.
That's what, for me, the FOMO is that it's new hardware, it's pretty, it's shiny. I must have it.
Yep.
I'm a hardware whore, and I realize that. And I think... maybe it's from being around me, but this kind of rubbed off on you just a little bit. Doing the show. And I
also think for us being older guys, as you said at this point, it's a little bit the era we grew up into. We grew up in pre-internet, really. I mean, that's nuts to say, right? But you and I both remember playing games without the internet.
Yes.
Like, absolutely. When we were kids, we played, we've told a story before on this show about calling the Nintendo support 1-900 number, you know, like, yeah, to get help because you couldn't go Google something because that wasn't a thing yet. And so, like, of course, like, services like Steam are great and the shift to cloud gaming, we know that's coming, but there's always going to be something for us that's like, gaming is physical. Gaming is a piece of hardware that you put in your house that you put something else into to bring a game up, you know, like theoretically, right, that shouldn't take any like connection to this magical network of interwebs out there. Like that's what gaming is at its core. And so there's definitely something to that of like, since I was 6 years old, I wanted the next hardware, you know, and I'm 40 or not 40 yet, getting up close to 40.
You're in there. I mean,
it's close, yeah, enough at this point. We're near our 40s or in our 40s at this point. And I still want that, you know, like I still want just the hardware for the fact of having the hardware because I think it's cool because I'm a nerd and like games, you know? And so, yeah, it doesn't even matter that there's not really games yet for the Series X. I want a Series X because the thing looks pretty cool, you know?
Well, and look, the other thing is the stuff that aren't games that comes in the box.
Yes.
Like you have this, and this is what IGN talked about. You have this dashboard that is very familiar at this point to Xbox players. You have these features. You have all of the... As stupid as it is, because we all have fire sticks and various things, but you have all the media stuff. You have, in both machines, you have solid state drives that for you, like when I saw the review of both, because I've seen both reviews at this point, your life as a gamer with both of these consoles is going to fundamentally change. And Tommy's going to end up playing more games because of the way these consoles are set up and the ability to pick something up in a split second, yep, and resume right from where you were.
Yeah.
I don't think it hit me until I saw this review. They were, both machines are this way. They're talking about, look, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you turn the thing off, walk off and go do whatever you're doing, you come back, you pick up the controller, you hit the button, and you're off.
Yeah.
That's huge for you.
Yeah, and that's, you're absolutely right. It's the thing that I think I'm most looking forward to right now. Because, of course, again, software's not really there yet. But that single element of gameplay that I've seen, you know, like the side-by-side comparison of Spider-Man loading on the PS5 and the PS4 100 times at this point, that I'm like, oh my God, that's going to, like, yeah, change how I play games completely. That's a huge deal. It is such a, like, if you were to say to me, you know, 20 years ago, hey, when the PlayStation 5 gets here, the thing you're going to be really excited about is that it has a solid state drive. That would have been like, what the crap is that? That is going to just let you instant resume games. I would be like, what does it look like? You know, like, what's the graphic power? What a game. But literally, like, we've gotten to the point that graphics are just so good. Like, yes, it's an upgrade. Yes, they look better, but it's an incremental upgrade at this point. It's really about that accessibility. It's really about the convenience of gaming, that they're making it easier to access, quicker to access. And I'm really pumped about it, you know, like as weird as that is, like that's the thing that sounds super cool about this next gen to me at this point.
And because of that, and this is something that you're going to have to learn to do, as a gamer, I love the fact that you just leave stuff on, and then when Tommy is done with a piece of hardware, that hardware is whipped,
yeah,
because it's been on for like 4,000 hours and not been turned off. So the interesting thing for you, I think, is gonna be remembering to hit that button, and for the first time in your life, you're actually gonna have accurate costs on stuff.
Yeah, I hope so. That would be nice.
I think it's gonna be, for me, it's gonna be interesting because we talk about the way these consoles are set up and the tech and all that. I think it's going to be interesting for us as a show because I think it's going to be considerably easier. It's easy now, but it's going to be considerably easier for you to put whatever it is that you're doing somewhere where I can get to it.
Yeah.
And go, hey, look at this.
Yeah.
You know,
one of the things I think it was about the PlayStation 5. I can't remember which one now because they kind of blend together in my head. But one of them was talking about how easy the shareability is, that it's just so much quicker now if you want to stream content, that it's just, you know, one click and you're going. And that's, again, something that wouldn't have seemed like an issue. But it is, because it's one of the things that I think about when I sit down to play a game. Like, I'm going to have to load up this game. If it's something that we're playing together, like, I got to get it streaming. I got to go through all this stuff. And then I'm like, if I only got 5 minutes, like, I'm not going to pick up a game to do that with, you know? And that'll change that I don't feel like I have to dedicate a bunch of time to a game to justify firing it up because it takes it forever to load and blah, 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 blah. Which, again, is a minor concern. And if you got a game already running on, like, your PS4 and you put it in rest mode and you pull it back up, it's pretty quick. Like, it's not a huge deal. But the fact that, like, I could jump between. So, you know, the most recent games we've been playing on the PlayStation are Last of Us and Final Fantasy VII. And I really went through this last night. I for the first time in literally weeks, had, like, time to sit down and play a game. And I haven't played The Last of Us in a while. I haven't played Final Fantasy since we were together in the same room. And so that's been quite a while. And I had like this crisis of like, I don't know which one I want to play. Neither one of them's open. I got to load one of them. Like, which one? And I like went back and forth. And you know what I ended up playing? Need for Speed. Because they have that for the like PlayStation Plus this week. And I was like, screw it. I don't have enough time now to dedicate to one of these big games. I'm just going to play Need for Speed for 20 minutes. And that's what I ended up doing. And I won't have to choose that because I'll be able just to like quick pick up wherever I was at in either one of those games at whatever time. Like, that's significant. It's stupid, but it's awesome.
And I gotta admit, and I said this last generation, and I hope it's more so this generation, I hope that you literally have no excuse but to hit that button every time you play something, because the way that you, it's weird the way that our relationship works, but when I've gotten to the point where when I see something, whether it's sports or whether it's something in the news, that I'm like, wow, that's a little different. I send you a text and be like, hey, I'm watching this thing. And the thing about you being able to instantly just click that button and go is I can actually see the 5 minutes of what's the name of that game that you've been playing that stole your... It's Hades, right? It's right, like I haven't seen that. I don't know because you're playing it 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah,
I would love to have to be able to go through on a daily basis. Okay, here's what Tommy's working with and see where he's at and see what he's playing. And like, that's gonna help me out a lot hosting this show.
Absolutely.
So,
all that said, we've just kind of ran right into show notes. And so go back to GameAgainstSensor.com. We'll talk about that in a second. But first, while you're there, big shout out to the Patreon guys, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. I almost got through it without having to take a breath. That's awesome. I want to take 3 breaths getting through that list. Thank you guys for all your support. And of course, now you can go over and see our lovely faces for this podcast if you're not already looking at us, if you are a subscriber at Patreon. That, by the way, was a huge hit. We've only done one show like this so far. But man, we got tons of positive feedback for that. For whatever reason, sitting here looking at our faces is intriguing to people. Here we are. So this is what we look like.
Can I say that this is like the third time that we've done this, including a round table, and I'm getting used to it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I could go back to, I mean, we could because we're radio people, but I'm getting used to it. It's kind of cool.
It is nice to be able to see you. I mean, like, we could have been doing it for a long time and we just weren't. Now we got a reason to. Like, yeah, it's kind of cool. So anyway,
I'm glad that we finally got content that people dig.
I know. Like, we've been searching and it just never stopped. We'll see if this one sticks, but at least for now, like for whatever reason, if you want to see us, you can look at us. So all that said, over to show notes, you'll find, as Jamie mentioned, both the IGN review for the Xbox Series X and for the PlayStation 5. If you care about scores, I'll just mention really quick because I think it's interesting that they ended up getting the same score. They both got an 8 out of 10. The Xbox Series S got a 7 out of 10. Obviously, just not the same power that you're going to get in those other consoles. But it is interesting to watch them talk through it. And you kind of see the differences. And it's things we know. But I think it's nice now having them out in the world and being able to really say what the differences are, where there's been comparisons of software running on both of them, that it feels like the Xbox Series X is the powerhouse. Like, that's, we knew that coming in, and that's now confirmed. If you want the highest performance, the Series X is where you're going to get that in like the same game. If you want the highest frame rate at the highest resolution consistently, the Series X is going to do that better than the PlayStation 5 is.
And can I say, because we've had this debate for 6 weeks, which one do you buy? My FOMO is for the X.
Interesting.
Like, my FOMO is for the X because, again, I'm a hardware whore. That's the best hardware out there, the best version of the Xbox. I'm probably not going to spend that money. We've already discussed it. But that's where my FOMO is at.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting. I don't know if you have this in the show notes because I didn't go look. But I think it's interesting that each of these consoles has different performance modes. Like, do you want the frame rate, or do you want it to look as beautiful as it could possibly look?
Yep.
And that is something that I don't know that I know the answer.
Yeah.
Like, which of the, on the screens that we have, I know the answer, right? Because the frame rate is capped and we don't have HDR and we have all that good stuff. So I think I know the answer on the screens that we have, but it's a very interesting question that I didn't expect to have to debate.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a fun feature. And I watched Miles Morales of a kind of side by side of the performance mode versus the, you know, graphical. I don't know what they call it. There's some other name they have for it. But whatever it is, do you want all of the ray tracing and reflections at a lower frame rate, or do you want the higher frame rate with minimally less graphical prowess? Because looking at them side by side, you wouldn't tell me, if I just was looking at the, you know, 60 frames per second one or whatever, that this was a watered down version, because it still looks darn good. But yeah, in our world where we're at, I'm going to go for the prettier as opposed to the performance, because we don't have the performance monitors anyway. But it is a testament to this generation of consoles for sure. The other thing that I think that the Series X really has going for it right now, when you kind of compare and contrast them, is that it has the storage, slightly more built-in storage. And so the Series X
and
has
the expandable bay. Yeah. Also.
So the Series X has the 1 terabyte versus the PlayStation that has the 800, whatever weird number, which practically gives you on the Series X 800 plus gigs for games. And on the PlayStation 5 is like 650 or something like that. And so you essentially get 150 gigs more on the Series X with the built-in storage. And as you were mentioning, the Series X does have expandable storage. Now, that expandable storage is going to cost you $230, which sucks, but it is a thing. Whereas the PlayStation 5 as of this point doesn't have expandable storage at all. You don't have any way on the PlayStation 5 to expand the size of PlayStation 5 games you can put on there. I think you can run like other software off of an external drive. And so there's some workaround there. But if you're just doing PlayStation 5 software, you've got 650 gigs for that. And that's it for now. And so you really do have to deal with installing, uninstalling. If you want to go back to something and you have a slow internet connection, it's going to take you a long time to re-download that 100 gigs or whatever. Like, that's a thing. That's a legit issue.
Okay, so So we've been talking about this, but they're out now.
Right.
So
it's real.
Yeah, it is. It's real. The 200 for the extra storage sounds insane. And because we're the cheapest people on the face of the planet, we're probably not going to pay for that for a while. But I will say, when you start doing the math and you look at the fact that just Cyberpunk is 77 gigs, and that's small comparatively. I mean,
the new Call Horizon of Duty is 180 gigs if you install every bit of it. 180 yeah. gigs! That's
right.
nuts!
Right. So the 200 is an insane price.
Yeah.
But if you can find that money, I feel like it's one of those, like, that's more important than another accessory. Like, if it's between that or another, I feel like that's important.
Yeah.
Because at your house, it's not that important because you have the internet connection that you have.
Absolutely.
That makes a huge difference. But even with a 200 meg internet connection, those are some big games.
Yes.
To download.
Absolutely. And if you have data caps, like, you're screwed. Yeah. You know, like, it just, yeah, there's a lot of caveats there. It's expensive extra storage. It's going to come down. The price is going to come down eventually. And so it's obviously not something you necessarily need from day one. And with, especially with the Xbox, if you've got decent internet, you're also going to get xCloud pretty soon. And so you've got other options to access content that's not just chewing through your hard drive space. And I'm sure there's going to be hybrid kind of delivery of that eventually and that kind of stuff. And so things will be smaller. But yeah,
so
it's a consideration.
So since we're talking about this, I'm just kind of making up the show as I go along here because I have no clue what you put in the show notes. But the thing that got me about the PS5 and the storage is that they're like, oh yeah, you can plug in an external drive via USB, but the only games that will be able to use it will be PS4 games.
Right.
You're not putting PS5 games on this, even for storage. It's just flat out not gonna work. And so the reason that it bothers me in this instance is that you say, oh, she's early. Holy cow.
She's just running around.
Yeah. So,
making all kinds of noise.
So the thing that bothers me about this is we talk about how there's 8 zillion SKUs with the PS5. You're going to buy one whenever it is that you buy one. And then you're going to buy another one, which I realize people do, Chad, and several of our other guys have multiple PlayStations. And I get that. But, like, this is a more of a have to, because that 600 gigs that you're working with, that's all you got. There's no way to reasonably expand that short of buying another PlayStation
at this point
when the new SKU comes out.
Yeah. That, now they've promised us that we will have that ability eventually, that you'll be able to slap in a new M2 solid state drive in there whenever the drives are available that actually meet their spec, because their spec is so high. Yeah, it's a tricky thing. I'll say, though, I said the exact same thing about the PlayStation 4, that the PlayStation 4, the original, has a 500 gig drive, and that, man, that's so limiting, and we're going to have to get external drives, and I'm going to have to upgrade whenever they get the terabyte one out or whatever. I'm still running off that same 500 gig PS4, and it's fine. You know, like, again, yeah, it's shuffling stuff around. It annoys me every time I turn the thing on. That's like, hey, like, you need, it's gotten to the point now that it gives me errors that aren't true. Like, I have plenty of free space, but it's like, you need 35 gigs free to run this game, and then it runs the game. I don't know what it's doing there, but I don't care because it works. You know, like, I just have to hit a button. It's annoying, but it's not annoying enough for me to try to fix it, which is kind of the right amount of an annoying if you want to be annoying. So all that said, you know, you work with it in your limitations. That I very much so I'm excited about being able to slap extra storage into the PlayStation 5 eventually. I think Microsoft had the right idea of having that out of the box, even if it's super expensive, it's going to come down. So those are the places where I think Microsoft really has the edge, not to mention a Game Pass, which is a huge, huge deal that obviously Sony doesn't have. And so those are the compelling reasons for a Series X or a Series S for that matter, but really for the Series X for right now, for comparing kind of apples to apples. The two things that I've really seen that are the compelling things for the PlayStation 5, and honestly, the reasons why I'm still going to try to get a PlayStation 5 before getting a Series X. One is the software. And we'll come back to that here in just a second. But that's a huge deal that the PlayStation 5 has software that's not available elsewhere, which is something that Microsoft's just lacking. And that's a really big deal. At the end of the day, as a gaming console, I kind of want some exclusive software that I can only get there. So, but the other thing, and this is one that I wasn't as expecting as much, that I've just heard rave reviews about, is the DualSense controller. Apparently, the DualSense is really, really cool with the haptic feedback and the adaptive triggers. Like, people are going nuts over it, and that has me really excited. I think that's the thing that I'm FOMOing about the most right now, is I just want to play with that controller. Because every time I hear somebody, like, and Miles Morales apparently, like, it, like, has this cool little vibration it does for, like, an electrical charge, you know? And I'm like, that sounds cool.
Spider Sense is the other one.
Right. That you get like the direction is coming from on the haptic feedback, you know, like that sounds super cool. And it's such a weird thing because Microsoft has in a lot of ways perfected what the Xbox controller is. Like the Xbox One controller is fantastic. The Series X controller is basically the same thing because it was already fantastic. And there's just not a need to really, really change it if you're not adding any features to it. What Sony did was, hey, let's add some features to this thing. Let's make it do something different than what controllers do. Now, it's up to developers to take advantage of that, and we'll see how many developers do. Of course, with Spider-Man being Insomniac, the other one that I've heard a lot of people talk about is Astro Boy, Astro's Playroom, which is the kind of built-in tech demo-y kind of thing that people are like is actually really cool. That apparently uses a lot of the fun stuff with the controller to show off the controller because that's why they put it in the box, so, you know, or put it on the box. Technically, I suppose. We'll have to see how much third-party developers specifically use that. But even if it's just first-party developers that are really using that technology, the reason I get a PlayStation is for first-party titles, right? If Naughty Dog is using that and Insomniac is using that and, you know, we see God of War utilize that in really cool ways, like, okay, like that's enough for me. Like, those are the games that I want a PlayStation to play. I really want to see them take advantage of that controller.
I have an accessibility controller in my house that I don't use enough of because it's a pain to plug in the PC and do the thing. This controller, now I want another one. I want somebody to figure out how to rig me one of these because the thing, the way. That thing is set up, especially with the triggers, that has the potential to change the way the games work. Like playing like a Call of Duty where you have, say you pick up a certain weapon and you and I have been around guns all our lives. That's part of the way that we grew up. And you're not around so much anymore, but that's just sort of the way it is. And different guns have different feels, and you have to pull the trigger a certain amount on one gun, and you don't on another. Like it changes the way that people are going to program games. And the thing that gets me about it is. And I've actually seen this working where the trigger will push back.
Yeah.
It's not just like a gun, like you have to push this hard to get the gun to fire or whatever. Now they got these triggers that will push back if you're doing something and it's supposed to fight you, which means if you're in a boss fight or something and you got a boss that is grappling with you or whatever, that can be represented on your controller. That's a big deal.
That's super cool, right? And that's I love the fact that there's a controller upgrade out there at this point. Because it's such a little thing, but it's the thing that you interact with, you know? Like, it's, you don't really think about the controller being as big of a deal as we probably should, because you're looking at this, you know, beautiful graphical power or whatever. But the thing that you're holding on to sure matters a lot with how you play a game. And so the idea that they've done some significant upgrades there, I think, is a big deal. I'm looking forward to it. So, really briefly, I'll mention, we usually don't talk reviews specifically on this game, and we won't really hear it either. But I do want to point out just a couple of Metacritic scores for the PlayStation 5 specifically, because it has a couple of exclusive or exclusive-ish games. Demon's Souls right now has a 93 on Metacritic, which is, apparently is a really, really good remake. And that was anticipated, and people love the original. But Demon's Souls, apparently very, very good. Miles Morales is an 85. Of course, you can play it on the PS4 as well. You don't have to wait for your PlayStation 5 for that. But if you want the full, really, really pretty experience on PlayStation 5, you'll get that. An 85 for Miles Morales, I think, is pretty solid. Because it's not a full new game. It is essentially an expansion on the PS4 Spider-Man. And so Astro's Playroom is at an 83. Sackboy, A Big Adventure is a 78. Bugsnax is down at a 74. But I've still seen a lot of people really, really digging Bugsnax, of all things. Apparently, it's a pretty charming little game. And so it does speak well of Sony that their exclusives that they have, as far as they exist, are doing relatively well, and Demon's Souls and Miles Morales specifically doing quite well. Very, very positive. I just pulled it up because I was curious to see what the highest rated Xbox Series X games are right now. The first one, the top one, is Tetris Connect. at a Tetris Effect Connect, excuse me, at an 86. Yakuza Like a Dragon's at an 86. Assassin's Creed Valhalla is an 85. Gears Tactics is a 79. The new Call of Duty is getting really good reviews. It mid high 80s on Metacritic. I don't see that popping up here, but that would be one that would be higher on that list. But again, it's third party titles because Microsoft doesn't have any first party exclusive stuff on this console yet, which is weird. Just so freaking weird. So
it's not like I'm actually looking around going, okay guys, right now would be a real good time to throw out a Fable if you would.
Right, like you got it. It might not even be that great, but it would be exclusive and that would be significant right now. Like this is the time to put out a mediocre exclusive game just to have something that's exclusive.
I know you got it in a closet somewhere, just throw it out.
For sure. It's get it into the world.
It's a different place to be. And there are I talk about this a little bit with the IGN review. But it's also I am looking forward to having one or both of these consoles. First time in a while, I know I'm probably gonna have both because I have an accessibility controller, and like there's just no reason not to have an Xbox at this point with Game Pass and with everything else.
For sure.
But one thing that I'm really excited about is that both of these companies are really working hard to say, here's all your stuff in one place. Like, here's your, this is your game box, your media box, the whole ball of wax. And they both, the previous consoles did that. But the really, I think both of them worked really hard to really kind of like slick up the experience and make it this, you know, this one-stop shop for here's everything.
Yes.
And I think they're working really hard. I mean, do you see that? Because both of the reviews spent a lot of time on here's your dashboard, here's what's going on, here's what's available. And like I said, we all have all the media devices in the world. Like, we don't need another place to get Hulu.
Right.
but I will say that we made a big deal when the PlayStation 4 came out about the REST feature and be able to fire things back up. I run Plex on my PlayStation because I got movies on a hard drive and TV shows and whatnot. And it is nice to watch something on Plex, put the PS4 in REST mode, and hit that button and the Plex pops right back up and all of that. It's going to be even better with these new, with the new hardware. Yep. So I'm really, I really am kind of looking forward to diving into these, to the new set. Cause the talking about Hulu, it's weird that I bring this up. And I don't know that it happens on the Fire Stick, but Plex, once I get into Plex with my PlayStation controller, I can pick up a physical remote and navigate Plex because it's smart enough to know, hey, they built it in to work with sure. an actual remote. Who does not work that way? And I don't know that it's, if it's that way on a Fire Stick that you can only really use one way to get around it, but who on the PlayStation's awful. Like, it's just not good. So I am looking forward to that being improved and some of the stuff they have going on there. And with Microsoft, like you're saying, it's going to be a while before they have software. I mean, they're really leaning into Game Pass, going, look, we have all this stuff.
Yeah, which, by the way, is a great thing to lean into. There's nothing wrong with that because Game Pass is phenomenal. And if you're just looking for a place to play a bunch of games, Microsoft has it. And it's growing. Again, the EA Play merger with Game Pass has now happened. And so if you have a Series X or Series S, and you have Game Pass, you can also get all these EA games that are part of that now, too, which is a huge deal. And so good for Microsoft for making that happen.
Interestingly, we may need to research this. I ain't doing this to you live on the air. But I got the email that my EA was going to be renewed in the next couple weeks or whatever. And I thought that was kind of weird. But it's $30 a year, so I haven't done anything to like change it because the PC Game Pass is a little weird at this point. But now that you bring that up, I'm wondering how long EA is going to keep charging people, because I think a lot of people on the PC have Game Pass, and I'm wondering if EA Play is not available with Game Pass on the PC, and that's why they're charging me for another year.
Yeah.
Again, I don't care because it's $30 a year and it's nice to be able to pick up a game and just not think about it. But I am getting charged for another year.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, it makes sense as a standalone feature still because not everybody has Game Pass. And if you don't care about Game Pass but want EA access, whatever, if you want that, you've got that option. I do know that it's not on PC yet, but they've announced that it is coming to PC. I was trying to see if I could find a date when it's supposed to come to PC, because I did. I had the same kind of experience, but I canceled my Game Pass. I went ahead and said, or not my Game Pass, my EA access,
yeah,
and just said, yeah, hey, I've got Game Pass, and so I'm just going to hang out until EA's on there, you know? Like, I don't need that. My EA doesn't expire until like sometime in December, and so I still have it. I already took off my auto renew for the exact reason, because I don't need it, because it's coming to Game Pass, so, for what it's worth. So really quickly, we've talked a lot about Microsoft and Sony. Obviously, they've released new hardware this week, and that's a big deal. And it still feels small, right? Like, it still feels like I'm about to bring up Nintendo, and then I get caught up on Microsoft and Sony for a second. But to get caught up on Microsoft and Sony for a second, like, it still feels like a weird release. I do appreciate Sony specifically didn't do any in-person launch stuff, that if you wanted to get one, you had to get it online. And I tried and failed miserably at getting one online on the launch day. It was very difficult to do, but they didn't want to put people like standing in line at stores during a pandemic, which was good. I appreciate that from their point of view. But both of them very, very limited supply here at the start. Both of them very much sold out and probably will be. You can go get one of these consoles for $1,000+ on eBay right now if you really need one. They're going to come back in stock. We're going to have them soon. There's nothing that is must play that you can't play somewhere else at this point other than Demon's Souls. That's like one example of a game that's not available of any games that we're talking about next gen. So whatever that is. All that said, with the hype, or maybe needs to be more hype around Microsoft and Sony, the Nintendo Switch just had its best month of sales ever in October, and the second best month of sales for a console, period, all time. 700+ thousand units, only bested by the Wii in 2008, which had a month over 800,000 units.
Can I say this? And this is going to blow your brain. Couple of reasons is gonna blow your brain. But Avery's birthday was on Veterans Day. We now have a 17-year-old in my environment. That's insane.
Because
when there was a point that you could physically hold her. I think there's a picture somewhere of you.
Younger than my daughter
physically.
when we started hanging out, you know? That's nuts.
So yeah. So now she's 17, and of course, me being the digital savvy person in my house, I did the birthday shopping, and one of the things that we got her, which made me smile, was Miibos for Animal Crossing.
Very nice.
And a couple of things on that. I was amazed that they were so easily available, and I was amazed at how cheap they are. I have no concept of what they do inside the game or you know, what she's going to get out of that, but I was like, wow. Like, as two guys that host a gaming show, these are cheap enough that if we ever end up with, I was talking about the fact that we're forever children to Aaron earlier in the week, and I said, at some point, Tommy and I are going to have a studio with a separate room with monitors everywhere and all these different consoles. I mean, we have a Super Nintendo piece that we're keeping because when that happens, we're going to have all of the consoles lined up with the screens, and they're like, that's always been the thing. But now I'm looking at these Amiibos going, hey, you know, these are cheap enough that if we had 6 or 8 or 10 of those lined up on a shelf somewhere, that'd be pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
So I'm really kind of surprised at that, but yeah, Nintendo's doing what Nintendo does. This is what Nintendo does,
and they're doing it well. There's no sign of slowing down here, and I mean, there's probably a Switch Pro coming in the next year or so. We'll probably start seeing that pretty soon once the kind of next gen from Sony and Microsoft dies down, and that thing's going to be a huge hit too. They're going to own the world again. It's just nuts. Good for Nintendo all the time. They just do their own thing at this point, and they're crazy successful at it. They're going to outsell these new next gen consoles for a while still, part because of availability, but part just because they're Nintendo and people still want their stuff.
And you know, it's got to make people at Microsoft and Sony sick because I don't care what they say. I don't care what Nintendo says about not being direct competition. Microsoft and Sony are watching what Nintendo's doing and going, we don't understand. Yeah. Like, we can't touch this thing. And it was that way with the Wii. And then the Wii U came out, and they had a little down period. And now here we are again, yep. and it just Nintendo is Nintendo, and they're going to be huge until we die, I think.
Yep. Absolutely. So Nintendo's going to do Nintendo. Really quickly, a couple other things to squeeze in here. Mass Effect. We know this was coming for a while. We now have the official announcement of the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which is the remaster of the first three games that will be, I think there was a release date. I don't remember if there was a release date on this. Sometime spring 2021. There we go. For Xbox One, PS4, PC, and forward compatibility and targeted enhancements for Series X and PlayStation 5. Isn't that weird? Like, they're not saying it's coming to PlayStation 5. They're saying it has forward compatibility and targeted enhancements for Series X and Play. It's the weirdest generation. I just can't get over how strange this console generation is. Okay, whatever. So it's coming to next gen in a non-next gen kind of way, and it is what it is. So Mass Effect Legendary Edition remasters are coming.
They are. And we are getting the other weird thing that we kind of joked around about. And we've, and it's over.
We tried.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I was just, hey, what are you doing?
I don't hear him.
Oh, you don't hear him. Sorry. Let me turn this up so you can hear him.
Yeah, he needs a little volume. What's up, babe?
Oh, what no, you can't hear him because I have it through these other speakers. Here. Sorry.
She needs one. You have one and she has one.
I'm going to have to do it this way, maybe. Let's see if that works.
Hello.
This is on the fly trying to get audio working in
audio the professional right there.
Least conductive way possible. So there we go.
You are a very, 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 very pretty little girl to me.
Do you know that? Yeah.
Yeah. Super pretty.
She is fully aware.
Before she popped onto your lap, was I was saying we're getting to a point where you and I are gonna have to upgrade the screens. We gotta get better screens. I don't know how, but we gotta get better screens at some point.
Yeah.
Because these games look great, but we don't have the screens for them. Yeah.
I don't see him.
You don't see him. That's because you were clicking with the mouse and you clicked on something else. Now you see him.
Yep, still here. Still here.
You do.
So, there he is. So I have to tell you something, Genevieve. I've been waiting to talk to you because I did something that your dad's not going to believe.
That needs to be right there.
I saw Hamilton.
Did you hear what Jamie said? He saw Hamilton.
Saw Hamilton. I actually sat down and she watched 3 hours of Hamilton, and it was great. I love Hamilton.
Can you sing some Hamilton? There's a ukulele sitting on a speaker here. That's very distracting to her. Maybe in a second, love. Can you sing Hamilton?
My name is Austin Hamilton. My name is Austin Hamilton. Doesn't matter how done. Just you wait.
Good job.
I dug it.
It's pretty entertaining. What were you for Halloween? You were Alexander Hamilton for Halloween.
She was fabulous.
It was great.
I bet she knows how to say this is my shot.
Just a second, love.
I'm not giving up our shot.
Are you giving up your shot?
She's adorable.
Hi.
And very distracted.
Hi.
You like that microphone?
Totally messing with the green screen and everything, and it's all worth
it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are not on Patreon, you are missing some good stuff right here.
I want that now.
You want that now?
The best part of our show is Genevieve, and she totally just stole it. And now she's holding a ukulele, which I kid you not, boys and girls, if you are not on Patreon watching this, you got to get over there. She's worth every dime. I don't even know what tier it's going to at this point.
No.
Yeah, it's all Genevieve all the time, and we are extremely happy. Oh, boy. I can't hear you people. Seriously. Patreon. Go find it. You know where everything else is. We got the Facebook. We got the Twitter. Tommy is actually paying attention to my Twitter at this point, which is hilarious because I saw a retweet the other day,
yep.
which I found interesting. We got all that stuff. Y'all know all about that, but we got to wrap because Genevieve needs her daddy. Oh. And is there anything else, sir?
All right. You know how to wrap us up? What do you say? We're Gaming Uncensored. And
we're out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.